Well, we're going to be continuing in our look at one another. And we have been looking at this desire for Christ to build his church. And the reason God chooses the church as his method of reaching this world is because it is through the church that he is going to destroy the consequences and the plans of the enemy, the results of sin in this world came through sinful man, and so it is through redeemed man that he is going to break it down. And we know that Jesus made the statement that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, my church is going to be the tool in which I move forward in this world and begin to redeem creation. It is through the church. And so therefore, we are part of that church. The church is not these buildings. The church is the believers. It is each one of us that as we come in to that transforming power of Jesus, we become part of so many different analogies. It is seen as a family. We are part of the body of Christ. We are seen as the army of the Lord. We are seen as the temple of God. So in all of those pictures of the church, we are joined together. In all of those pictures, there is an act of joining together. And in our interconnectivity into that community is when God works in this church. So therefore, the one another commands are important because that is how we become the church that God has called us. And so I think it has been important and also hopefully challenging as we begin to look into plans or these commands or challenges that God has for us in how we interact together. And this is what builds his church. So we looked at, first of all, that we are to love one another. You see, as we love one another, the church is built. And then we looked at that we are to encourage one another. And as we encourage one another, the church is built. Last week, we looked at that we are to accept one another. And it is as we accept one another, again, the church is built. And it is stronger in each step. As we begin to apply these one another statements, it's kind of like strengthening that body with every step we go. And so this week, we are going to look at the next step that we are called to be. And this one is probably one of the most famous examples that Jesus has given us. We know the most famous statement was when he told us to love one another. And so love is the basis of all the one another's. Love is the core one. But all the others basically explain how to love. And so that was the most famous statement that Jesus made, to love one another. But then he put it into practice. And his most famous modeling of that is found in this story right before he was crucified. And so we're going to look at it in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we know that it was in the upper room that Jesus came and he did something that shocked the rest of the disciples. And it was hard for them to accept. We know that he took out a towel and he went around to each one of them and took their shoes off, their sandals, and he began to wash their feet. And this was the example, the model of what the church was to look like. That it was to be a model of servanthood. Not a model of control and not a model of who can have the most authority, but it was to be, if we are to be built together, we are to be servants of one another. And starting in verse 14, this is what Jesus said. He said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And he's not talking about the physical act of washing their feet, but it was the act of seeing a need in one another, and I'm going to be the one to meet it. that none of us are above meeting the needs of one another. We are to serve one another. And he goes on, he says, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And I love that simple statement. If you know this, then do it. Because I think a lot of us know this. A lot of us, throughout his ministry, he always said, you know what? Whoever wants to be great has to be least. Whoever wants to gain life, you have to be the one willing to give up your life and serve one another and humble yourself and become dirty and become nothing. And then you receive life and everything you desire. And so we know that, but we have a problem doing it. And Jesus said, blessed is the one who finally gets past the knowing and gets to the doing. When we begin to embrace this idea that we are called to serve one another. And this is where all the philosophical and theological ideas of the one another's begin to be put away to the practical, hands-on part of coming together. You see, it's one thing to love one another. We have that idea. I love you, and I can encourage you. I'm going to encourage you, and I can accept you. Okay, I accept you. But now I have to serve you. See, that puts aside all the intellectual and all the emotional part to now God says, now do something about it. If you say you love one another, if you really want to encourage someone, if you truly accept them, but you're not willing to serve, then all it is a bunch of noise. You're not really loving. We are called to serve. Jesus put it to action. Jesus said, I'm not just your teacher that have just taught you great things. I'm the one who's willing to get down and touch these grimy, stinky feet. And it's nothing like today. See, we don't realize it because we don't understand that culture. That's why they had servants for this, because, of course, one of the greatest inventions. Now, some people don't like it, but I was just the opposite as a kid, and my mom could tell you, I hated sandals. I was one, give me a pair of socks, because I do not want my feet. I'm not going to walk barefoot. Some people love to be barefoot and just walk through the ground. Not me. I know they would call you little sissy boy, whatever. I was. The greatest invention for me was socks. Whoever invented that's what I need. I do not. But back then, there was no socks. It was all open sandals. And so the feet, and all they did was walk. And even when you're riding a donkey or anything else, you're going to get dirty. And so their feet were dirty and smelly. And so washing the feet was a true act of humility. He didn't have gloves. You know, we might say, okay, I'll do that. Give me some gloves. No. Jesus did more than just talk about it. He put his hands in it. And he got down where they were. He did the act of a servant. We are called to do the acts of a servant. And I know so many of us, we say, yes, God, I'll be your servant. Yes, God, I'll be your servant. But then as soon as someone treats us bad, how dare they do it? It's like, do you not understand what servant was? That means whatever they do to you, you say, yes, sir. And yet we do not grasp that if we're going to be servants, then you got to be a servant. You see, servanthood takes humility. It takes commitment. And it's not when you choose to. And that's the first thing. If we are to serve one another, we need to be committed to one another. That's why so many people, you know, with this idea of church, they don't understand that there's a commitment involved. If you are going to truly serve, then you're not serving. When you just come and do it, you're just doing something that makes you feel good. Because some people do special acts, like they'll come once in a while and they'll do some big thing, and it just makes them feel like they did something when they really didn't. They just popped in, did something, and left. True servanthood is the ones that are here day in and day out. The little things that no one sees, there's a commitment to it. But not only that, is there is an observance to it. See, and here's another thing, that many times we are not servants because we're not really looking at each other. We're not really observing where there's a need. We don't see the needs because we don't really want to get involved in each other's lives that much to know the needs. And so if we just come on Sunday morning and then we're gone and we greet each other, we do, it's acquaintance. Remember, we talked about this last week. To truly accept one another means to begin to entwine ourselves with one another. And it's then that we can begin to see the need. See, Jesus saw the need. Your feet need to be washed. I see the need, and I'm going to address it. So we need to be people that begin to see the need in one another. But the only way we can see the need in one another is to spend time together. And that is part of servanthood. Servanthood takes commitment, and it takes observation. And then the third thing is it takes humility. We need to be willing to lower ourselves and truly do it. That means willing to do something, not that we necessarily want to do, but it needs to be done. There has to be another word for that would be sacrifice. We got to sacrifice. That's a bad word. Today's, we'll do something when it works into our thing, into our schedule, into our budget, and yet that's not servanthood. Servanthood is sacrificial. That means coming when you really have something better you could do. That means being apart when I'm really not good at that. I feel very uncomfortable doing that. But a servant sacrifices. A servant sees the need and is willing to step in. How well are we serving one another? Today, I want us just to be very honest with ourselves. We need to be confronted with that. Have we really been serving one another? Or is church just kind of like a community center that meets my needs at times? Oh, and I like being a part because it makes me feel like I did something, but are you really serving? See, servanthood is day in, day out. Commitment, observation, and sacrifice. So what motivates us to serve? It's one thing to just hear these words of Jesus and say, well, Jesus told us to serve, so we're going to serve. How many know that sometimes that's not enough? Because there's a lot of things that Jesus has told us to do that we are not doing. We need to be motivated, and hopefully I can give you some motivation today. Beyond just the fact that you would think that's all we need is that Jesus said to do it, let's do it. But there's a reason. Some of us want to say, well, why should we do that? Well, why would Jesus tell us? We're the type that always want to know why. Now, God does not always tell us why. Sometimes we ask God why. We're like little kids, why? When you tell him that, well, why? Okay, you need to eat your peas, why? You need to go to bed, why? Right? We want to say God why. Sometimes God does not tell us why. He just says do it. Okay, so sometimes I don't have an answer, but we do have some answers of why God's asked us to serve, okay? And so there are some motivations that I can give you today why you need to serve. And maybe you can accept these, and these will challenge you and motivate you to be committed, to be more observant to those around you, and to be more sacrificial. The first reason is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, he says this, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This was last week's about accepting. And as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, he is saying, God has given us abilities. You need to use them as a good steward to serve one another. And he expands on this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says this, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Instead, we should speak the truth in love, and we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joins and is held together by every joint which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So here's the first reason we serve one another, is because we are stewards of the gifts of God for the kingdom. You see, it says that God has a plan of building his body. God has a plan of redeeming creation. And so the process of that is like building a great temple. And we have been given a part in that. If we want to see God tear down the gates of hell, then we need to be stewards of the purpose that he has given us. And every one of us have a gift to serve one another. And as we serve one another, we are building the kingdom of God. We are to serve one another. If you want to see the kingdom of God come in this world, if you want to see the plan of God bloom in your life, then let's get to work. You need to use your gifts to serve one another, because it is in serving one another that we accomplish the plan of God. The story is told of way back when the big cathedral was being built in London, in the area there of the Great Abbey by Parliament and Big Ben there, the large cathedral. As it was being built, the great architect, I believe his name was Christopher Wren, was building this, and it took several years. And they would talk to each people as the newspapers would talk about this great building that was going on, and they talked to the glass cutters. They said, what are you doing as part of this? He said, we are creating some of the greatest stained glass windows. And so I am creating a great masterpiece of glass that I am making. And then they talked to the sculptors. And they said, what are you doing? He says, well, I am creating this great sculpture that is going to sit atop the cathedral, and I am sculpting it in such a way so that this will be a great piece of art that I have made that will be part of that. All the way down to, they talked to the lowest person that was just bringing wheelbarrows of dirt and rubble to help with the grout and clear out the construction, just a normal work. And they said, what are you doing? He said, I am being a partner with Sir Christopher Wren to make the most greatest cathedral there was. Now, you see the difference in views is how we are. The glass person focuses on what he was doing. It's, I'm making this great stained glass window, and I'm making this great sculpture. But the common worker recognized that even in the little thing that he was doing, that he had a part in creating the whole cathedral and making it happen. You see, we need to have a different view. You're not just doing something that you can do. You're not just doing something for you. You know, I'm not just being a part of this church. I'm not just teaching Sunday school class so that they can learn this lesson. We need to begin to see ourselves in whatever we do, even if it's digging a ditch, even if it's vacuuming the floor, even if it's welcoming someone in the door. You're not just doing a job. You are building the kingdom of God. We have a part in building the renewal and redemption of creation. So the reason God calls us to serve one another is because he needs everyone doing their part that will come together, and with all of that, it will bring the most glorious plans of God into being in this world. We need to begin to say, I will do my part, not just for that little thing that it accomplishes, but I will do my part because God is working through that, even though I don't see it. And it's not that I have a big part, but I will do everything I can because God will use the little thing that I can do to build the kingdom of God. We need to begin to see that call and begin to answer it. Because if we don't answer that call and be a part, it's one more piece that someone else has to pick up. It's a longer job that has to be done that we then forfeit our part in it. So can you serve one another? When you serve one another, when you love others, when you begin to meet the needs of one another, you are building the kingdom of God. Because who knows that when you serve the smallest child, that you are not in years to come going to make a difference, that they are then going to do something great. And in God's eyes, you have part in that. We need to stop seeing just the little things close up and begin to understand that we are part of a bigger process of serving God. And therefore, we need to be stewards of that gift. Are we willing to use whatever I can do to serve God, to serve the body of Christ, to build up the church? You see, that says that the church is only as strong as every part does its part. This church here will only be as strong as every one of you decide to do something, to be a part. We become stronger. And many times we forget that because we only see how it affects me. We need to begin to say, can I be a steward of what God has given me? Because if we are not, we know the story that Jesus talked about the servants that were given the talents. And the one that did not use his talent, but he simply hid it. And he brought it back to God. That's the Christian who says, I believe in Jesus. I'm just going to be a believer, but I'm not going to be a part of the church. And I'm not going to really be committed. And I'm not going to really be sacrificial. That's like the servant that comes back and says, well, I didn't really do anything for you, but I believed in you. And Jesus said, send him away. Thou, you're a wicked servant. Let us understand that we are called to serve and make a difference. Another reason we are called to serve, it says this, for you were called, and this is in Galatians chapter 5, you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. There is freedom. This is what the world doesn't understand, and this is what Jesus tried to. There is freedom in being a servant. When we begin to enslave ourselves to the love of God, I actually find freedom. When I don't, when I begin to use my freedom to just enjoy my own life, we actually slowly lose it. And so we need to ask ourselves, if I am free in God, I am called to serve one another. Aaron, go to the next. Oh, the whole thing did. You see, there is a source of not only strength and freedom, but joy when we begin to learn to serve. And so it says that Jesus himself, for the joy set before him, was willing to come and be a servant to all of us. Now, you think you have a hard time serving. Imagine Jesus, who was God, a sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. And yet it says that he received joy in that. There is a principle that he is trying to show us that if we will begin to serve one another, there is a joy that God will give you that you never knew you could experience. You see, we understand the joy of the world. Man, I can go and do these things and I experience happiness. The problem is that happiness is short-lived. It is dependent on the things of this world. God says there is a joy that comes when you begin to serve others that comes from God. The third reason that we serve is shown us by the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. And he's talking about the day of judgment. He says, on that day, we're all going to stand before God. And it says, God's going to separate everyone into the goats and the lambs. The goats that are going to be sent away and the lambs that are brought into the fold. And this is what he told them. How did he separate them? And this is the way he separated them. He said this in Matthew 25. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not visit me. And they will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, and that's all of us, you didn't do it to one another, you did not do it to me. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Because here's the third reason that we serve one another. When we serve one another, you're really serving Jesus. If you love Jesus for giving you freedom, for redeeming you, for forgiving you of your sins and cleansing you, for walking through the hardest parts of your life with you, for giving you hope, if you love him for that, and if you are willing to serve him, then you must serve one another. We have got to be willing to lay down our life for one another, because when we are doing that, you are doing it for Jesus himself. When we refuse to be part of the church that he is building, you know what you're doing? You're refusing to be a part of Jesus. When we think, I've said a prayer and I'm a Christian and I follow that philosophy, you're missing the point, because what you're doing is turning your back on the plan of Jesus. On Jesus himself, it says. It says, you did it to me. When we choose not to serve, you are choosing not to minister to Jesus. So when we serve, we are serving Jesus himself. What better reason to say, I'm going to do everything for the church that I can because it is for Jesus himself. This is why we serve. We serve because God has given me a purpose in building the kingdom. And I'm going to do the best I can because I want to see the kingdom of God come. I serve because in it I receive joy that God gives me. You see, when I serve you, you don't give me my joy, and I don't necessarily get joy out of the serving. I'm not saying that serving itself is fun, because sometimes serving is not. But when I serve, I receive the joy from God himself. And thirdly, I serve because it is Jesus himself that I serve. No matter who you serve, when you look at that person, whether it is a grimy homeless person, or whether it is a bratty little kid, or whether it is a stubborn, obnoxious adult, when you look at them, no matter how you feel about them, you're looking at the image of God. And we need to begin to see that it is the image of God that I'm serving. And so therefore, I look past those other things, and I lay down how I feel about it, and realize that one day I'm going to stand before Jesus and say, I was willing to give you whatever I had, Jesus. I will serve you with all I had. And that is every one of us, because we are all the image of Jesus for one another. And so when we begin to embrace those motivations, hopefully it makes us want to serve. It makes us want to say, you know what, maybe I'm not even gifted in this area, but there's a need. Let me do it. What more can I do? There needs to be an attitude of the great saying in our own country. John F. Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask, what can you do for your country? And I think that is not something he thought up. It is something that comes directly from the Word of God. Stop asking what can God do for you, what the church can do for you, what your pastor can do for you. It's always what I can get from. Stop doing that and say, what can I do? How can I just be there so that when something comes up, I'm there? See, sometimes the reason you don't serve is because you weren't there when the need came up. Are we willing to be there? And it's not just in the church, it's in the world too. We need to be willing to serve one another. I want to close with this last thing. Not only what motivates us to serve, but the attitude in which we serve is important. Because how many know God does not want people saying, I'm going to serve, I sure not like it. I hope you're happy, God, look what I did for you. How many of us, that's how we serve sometimes? As parents, that's how our kids serve us sometimes. Go clean your room. Okay, fine, I'm going to clean my room. I hope you're happy. You know, the story of the kid when the mom said, you need to go stand in, sit in the corner. And he went and he just stood there. And she said, I said, sit down. And he just stood there, sit down. And finally he sat down and said, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. I mean, that's how we serve God. Okay, God, I'm doing what you want me to, but let me tell you, on the inside, I'm hating every bit of it. That's not how God wants us to serve. If we serve one another, we're not really serving one another if that's our attitude. So what's our attitude in serving? And I think just real quick, I'm going to look at three things that God asks us to serve. Because serving sometimes is suffering. Jesus served us, but he suffered. He understands that. He understands it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be fun. But this is what Paul tells Timothy how to serve. He says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And it is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And I love that. He says, I serve so that others can experience salvation. See, it's not about you. And if we are going to see others experience salvation, if we are going to see the church built and strong so that the gates of hell are torn down, then it says you need to, first of all, you need to serve like a soldier. That means I have an attitude, I'm fighting together. That means I'm going to discipline myself. I'm not just serving because I have to. If I don't serve, I'm going to die. I'm going to beat this enemy. We are in a war, and we need to understand that we are soldiers. And when we understand that we are side by side with one another against an enemy, then I serve with a desperation. I serve with a discipline that is focused on defeating the enemy. But not only do I fight like a soldier for one another, and we are in this together fighting the enemy, but it says that we serve like an athlete. In other words, we're teammates. We are on the same team. I'm going to make you look good, because if you look good, then us as a team, we win. And so we need to have that attitude that it's not about me and how good I look. But it says an athlete wins when he plays by the rules. He understands that there's a rule that we need to all accomplish the task. And so therefore, I'm going to train with one another. I'm going to work myself so that I can do the best so that others succeed. What kind of a teammate are you? We are an athlete working together to win a crown. And finally, it says that we need to serve like a farmer. And a farmer is one who nurtures his crops because he is looking forward to what it will produce. You see, we serve one another not just in fighting for one another, not just in winning something, but out of love in nurturing one another. Understanding that I can see in you that there's going to be a crop, there's a harvest that only you can bring, and I need to be a part of bringing that out. Just like a farmer tends his fields and crops and waters and pulls the weeds and makes sure that everything is growing well, receives the harvest at the end. So we, as we serve one another as a good farmers, we will receive the harvest of God. So as we serve, are we serving like a good soldier, a strong teammate, an athlete together, and farmers that are looking to bring in the harvest of God? So I want to encourage you today. Are we serving one another? Can we look around and say, how can I serve? What can I do to make this church stronger, to meet the needs of one another, to love people that are hurting, to encourage those that are struggling, and sometimes just to spur people on that are doing great things? Let's be a servant. Let's serve one another for the kingdom of God. And let's see what God can do through us as we simply allow ourselves to be used by Him. Let's bow our heads.